pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore. Well, I nodded nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. 'Tis some visitor I heard him tapping at my chamber door. Only this and nothing more. Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow from my books a cease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore. For the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore, names he forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. So then now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, 'tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. Some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is and nothing more. Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer.
Sir, said I, oh
madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door. That I scarce was sure I heard you hear, I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into the darkness peering long, I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word in the heart. This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word Lenore. Merely this and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning. Soon again I heard a tapping, somewhat louder than before. Surely, said I, surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind and nothing more. Here I flung the shelter, when with many a flirt and flutter in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not
A minute stopped or stagey, but with mine a lord or lady perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of flowers just above my chamber door, perched and sat and nothing more. Then the ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou, I said, art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door. Bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such a name as nevermore. But the raven sitting lonely on the placid bust for boldly, that one word as if his soul in that one word he did abhor. Nothing farther than he uttered, not a feather then he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered all the threats had flown before. On the morrow he would leave me as my hopes have flown before. Then the bird said nevermore. Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, doubtless, said I, what it utters is its only struck and store, caught from some unhappy master whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster, till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore. Oh, never, nevermore. But the raven still beguiling all my fancy into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and all. Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking nevermore. This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er. But whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er? She shall press
not evermore.
Then methought the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer,
swung
by seraph fingers, footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor.
Wretch,
I cried, thy God hath lent thee by these angels he hath sent thee.
Respite,
respite, and a panthe from thy memories of Lenore.
Quaff,
oh quaff this kind nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore.
Quoth the raven, nevermore.
Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil,
where the tempter sent or where the tempest tossed thee here ashore,
desolate yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted,
on this home by horror haunted,
tell me truly, I implore,
is there balm in Gilead?
Tell me, I implore.
Quoth the raven, nevermore.
Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil,
by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore,
tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden
it shall clasp a sainted maiden whom the angels name Lenore.
Clasp a rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore.
Quoth the raven,
word or sign of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked upstarting,
get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore.
Leave no black plume as a token of the lie thy soul hath spoken.
Leave my loneliness unbroken, quit the bust above my door.
Take thy beak from out my heart, and take thy form from off my door.
Quoth the raven, nevermore.
And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting, still is sitting
on the pallet, must of palace, just above my chamber door.
And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming,
and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor.
And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor
shall be lifted.